Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Yourself as King amidst us today in Jesus' name. Reveal yourself unto us in Jesus' name. Open our eyes of understanding in Jesus' name. Help us in Jesus' name. Bring us to your holy mountain in Jesus' name. Raise us in Jesus' name. Lord, beckon unto us to come in Jesus' name. Beckon unto us to come in Jesus' name and we'll respond in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I welcome again this evening. Last week we looked at Acts of Apostles chapter 1. Last week, Tuesday, we looked at Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus was telling the disciples, giving them his final instruction before leaving, so that they should wait for the promise of the Father. And this is how he put it, verse 8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. And we look at it that the primary reason for the power is to be witnesses. And I lay emphasis on the aspect of preaching and teaching. Of course, there are other aspects of Jesus, of witnessing Jesus. And I only lay emphasis on the preaching and teaching which we saw the Lord Jesus do when he was here on earth. One of the things I want to say is that the power of the kingdom that we're considering is, I've said it before, that it's something that we can see, we can observe, we can see. It's not something hidden. That once you are talking about power, something that you can see, all of us can witness.
We can see. So, let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Sorry, I welcome. I welcome Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. And Mommy, your son, Bitu. Daddy, Bello. And Mommy, Bello, and our other pastors. Welcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. That's on verse 14. Okay, sorry, I was looking at, okay, good. 14. Okay, well, it's keeping my, skipping. Okay, let's check, let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll get it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I came, and brethren, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. The word I want to bring out there is demonstration. That the king, that the power of the kingdom is demonstrative. We can see it. We can demonstrate it. We can see it in action. Hallelujah. What I was trying to look for in that first Corinthians when I was saying. Okay, I think I've gotten where I've missed it. Okay, I've gotten it, okay. Good, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, good. It's chapter 4, verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you, Timotheus, which is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and we know. Not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Hallelujah. Now, this place is like Paul was in Corinthians, I think. After he left, there were some people that came. I began to teach them. I began to tell them certain things, certain stuff. And Paul had what they were teaching. And it's like, now he's not trying to address them. And okay, I've had what you guys have been teaching, you have been saying many things, stuff, good. But if I come, I think we are going to compare notes. We need to compare which is which. Now, you guys have talked, you have done many things, you have spoken many things and all this. But when I come, I'm not going to talk, but you are going to see power in my speech. But I come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and we know not the speech of them which are poor, but what the power. Now, many people, of course, like Daddy said, I'm saying that talk is cheap. Though it's not cheap, really. It's not cheap. Talk is not so cheap. Are you getting me? To persuade people is not cheap. You need. Hallelujah. So, Paul says, he's not just going to observe or hear what they are saying, but the power of what they are saying. Now you can say so many things. There are many things you can say. You can preach. You can say things. But when it comes to demonstrating it, showing it, is a different ballgame. And one of the things I know about power is that if you don't show it, then people will not know whether you really have it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If Anthony Joshua is saying that he has power, that he can beat any opponent, people will not just believe him. He has to have a challenger. Somebody will challenge him and say, okay, you have said he can fight. Abi? And he has to get into the boxing ring and fight. And to show who really has what power between them. Hallelujah. So you need to show it. It needs to be seen. You need to demonstrate. That's what Paul says. In demonstration of what? Of the spirit and of what? Of power. So whatever we declare or will say has to be demonstrated. We need to see it. That's all what the power of the kingdom is all about. Now, when God was giving Moses instructions, God was teaching him something in the wilderness. After he said he was going to go back to Egypt and all the rest. And he said, okay, let us do something. Let us do a practical of what will happen eventually when you meet Pharaoh. He said, drop your stick. He dropped it and he turned to stick. The Bible said he fled away. Are you getting me? He ran away. After he said, what kind of thing is this? His arm was stricken. He saw that. And again, by the time he finished that, God told him, this thing you have just done, you are going to do it in front of Pharaoh. Hallelujah. You are going to what? Do it in front of Pharaoh. Now, by the time God was instructing him, when he got to the palace of Pharaoh, that put your rod, put it on the ground, and let people see it. That thing turned to snake. Pharaoh was not amazed, was not surprised. I would say the word, he called his magicians, he called his astrologers. He said, okay, I've been doing this, I've been seeing this. My people can do it, some of them can do it. But he brought them, they took you their stuff, their rod, and turned to snake. But of course, we saw the difference. That what? That the snake of Moses was what? Was eating up the other one. Are you getting me? To show which one is superior. Hallelujah. You see, one of the things about this, about the power, once it's not just about you. Is it about kingdom? We have established that you are not born again into a church. You are born into what? A kingdom. And as a matter of fact, in that kingdom, there's power attached to it. Hallelujah. Now, Paul was saying that God who translated us from the powers of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. That we were in a particular place, we were held bound by certain power. And by the power of God, we were what? Moved. Translated to what? The kingdom of God or kingdom of his son. One of the reasons why you will need power to manifest in you, or through you, or to have it in you, is that you will be confronted. You'll have confrontations. Hallelujah. There's no power that you want to have, or you want to say you have, that somebody will not say you want to challenge it. There must be a challenge. Are you getting me? There must be a confrontation. There must be a challenge. All through the days of Jesus on earth, he was constantly challenged. He was faced with one confrontation or the other. All through. Even by the time he was going up, he was still facing one confrontation or the other. I'm trying to say that you can't survive as a Christian without power. Now the power, thank God Paul was saying that it was the power of darkness. It's the whole entity of devil or the host is called power of darkness. So when you see devil also has manifestations. He has things to show that he has power. So when the devil is demonstrating, for example, when Jesus met that man that was possessed, are you getting me? Jesus was not just smiling to him. He was not just, you know, gisting with him. Bible says, he saw that he began to talk, rebuke the spirit. Are you getting me? It is demonstrative. It is confrontational. Hallelujah. That's one of the things about people that have the power of God in them. You know, some of us, if we see somebody that is possessed of the devil, we can be laughing, you can be gisting. No, somebody that has the power of God will react. There's a way he will react to that. Are you getting me? And the way he or she will react to that, it will challenge. When Goliath was coming, every one of them was looking. The Bible said all of them were subdued with fear. They were trembling by the speech, just by the karamo of Goliath. All of them have gone. They could not do anything. But it took somebody that knew, I have these things here. Are you getting me? He came and faced him and talked. But it was all, Bible said Goliath was first of all annoyed. Why are you are bringing this kind of shukulu boy to me? Hallelujah. But of course he doesn't know what the man David has, and he knows. And of course he showed it. After all the talk of David, but he showed it as that man was moving. It was moving towards him. Are you getting me? As he was moving, it was moving towards him. And a strike. Hallelujah. So it's not something we can keep. It's not something you can hide. Or it's not something to be hidden. It's not something you want to hide it. No. It's something to be demonstrated. It's something to be seen. You already have a challenger if you don't know. Maybe you don't know that you already have what? Somebody challenging you. The day you got born again, you are already, somebody's already challenging you. Hallelujah. He's already what? Challenging you. Say, who are you? What do you want? What? So, if you just keep quiet, now, I'm not going to talk of you, okay, ministers already, is challenging your state as a Christian, as a believer, as a son of God. It's already challenging that. Now, not to talk of you now saying you want to now move ahead and minister to people and deliver people. That's, you know. So we need to know that we need to show the power is something to be seen, something to be observed. And like I said last week, you know, I said witness, and I was talking about preaching and teaching. I lay emphasis on that purposely. Of course, there are other dimensions of Jesus that, of course, he sent the disciples, he sent them to preach the kingdom, he sent them to heal the sick, to deliver the oppressed, release the demon, and all the rest. Now, that is just a summary of that. I want us to look at something in the life of Elisha. I want to look at something in the life of Elisha. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19, okay, verse 19. Oh, sorry, Second Kings. No, it's First Kings, so 19. Okay, it's 19. First Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. And so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he went the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And I said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And I returned back to him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled and the flesh with the instrument of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered to him. Hallelujah. In the short minutes I have left, just want to talk about the kind of heart posture, the kind of lifestyle that we need to have, or that we need to imbibe if we want the power of God to rest upon us. The kind of lifestyle or the heart posture that we need for the power of God to rest upon us. Now, like I said, that the power of the kingdom is demonstrative. You see, number one thing I want to see is this. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Hallelujah. You see, if you don't have it, you don't have it. Because maybe some of us, we need to hear that. And I think it will help us. And that's one of the things I tell myself. That I don't deceive myself. If I don't have it, I don't have it. Therefore, of course, that one will help me to know what to pray about, what to ask God. Because if I keep deceiving myself that maybe I have it, I have this kind of ability, or I can do this, which I know I can't. One day you will find yourself, something will just expose you that you really don't have this power. If you can't exercise, they came back, the disciples, after Jesus gave them the authority. Bible said he gave them power and authority to preach, to heal the sick. Bible said they came back with testimonies of what they did. Hallelujah. Of what they did, they came back with testimonies of devils flying out and all the rest. Now they could do that. They have seen it, that what they could do it. Now the question is, if we send you out now, that you should go out, heal the sick, heal the leper, can you say you can do it? That's the question. You know, some of us, our response will be like the response of people, of those people that faced Goliath before David came. They'll just be trembling. Many of us, we can't. We can't pray for the sick. Not to talk of pray and they get healed. You can't cast out devils. If you have done deliverance before, I mean deliverance. So if you have done it before, let me see your hand up. Ah, Jesus Christ. If you have done deliverance, as in casting out devil from somebody's life, let me see it. Let me see your hand up like this. Ah, Jesus. Ah. Okay, stand up. Maybe it's okay. Yeah, let's stand up. Stand up, oh. If you have casted demons out, if you have casted a spirit out, let me see your hand up. No, apart from the pastor, apart from the pastor, I know. Apart from pastors. Let me see you. Stand up now. If not, you are not being proud. Stand up. It's something that we need to do. In fact, if you are not doing that, you have not done that, you should be ashamed of yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. And now, ha. You see? Ah! Please, is it true that we don't have demons in Futa here? People that went to Futa, is it true that you don't have demons here? Meaning that I went to Kumba, we know we have spiritual, we have. We know then that we have spirits. It has been changed away. Is he? Ah, Daddy, you now see that we need to go for outreach now. No, Daddy, you said we can't go. You said we can't go. We need to go for outreach, and I think that's one of the reasons we need to demonstrate it. I grew up with it. Are you getting me? We're casting out devils. I grew up with it. I have one uncle then. He lives in our house. You know, he's a prayer warrior. I was not born again, no. As much as I was, he said to me that the only thing that interests me in that the prayer warrior is casting out devils. Is that deliverance thing. That is the only thing that interests me, and I love it. I want to be there. I want to see. God, get it out! I want to. What's your name? Who are you? What are you doing here? I want to. Yes, that is what I'm after. Hallelujah. If you have not seen that, you need to see it too. As more as I was, that was what I grew up with. So, that is casting out devils. What of healing the sick? How many of us have done that? Okay, let us see our hand. Let us joyfully raise our hand. Let us, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let us be encouraged. Let us encourage ourselves now. Come, hallelujah. Well, I see people smiling now. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. Good. When the mantle fell on Elijah, Elisha, Bible says he followed Elijah and began to minister to him. One of the secrets to power is service. One of the secrets to the power of the kingdom is service. The disciples, they ministered to Jesus. They were not just following him, they were ministering unto him too. Joshua was also what? Ministering to Moses. This thing, I've seen it consistently work. It's something that works any day, anytime. If you move with people that have power, one of the things that you should do, just minister, if you want that thing to rest upon you. Service. Be ready to serve. Many of us, we don't want to do that. We just want to package and explode and bump at the same time. It doesn't work like that. Are you getting me? Now, there's a place of prayer. Yes, I understand prayer. But see, what there are some things that if they are not in place, even if that power comes, it will not rest. It will not stay. There's something service do to you. When you serve elders, there's something it does to your heart. It changes you. There's a way it changes. I don't know. It just changes you. And I don't know. I began to bring it from what? From Moses. Are you getting me? From Moses down the line till when we got to even the New Testament, it still continues. That service thing, be under and serve, it continues. Timothy served Paul. Hallelujah. There's a progression to it. Power doesn't just land on people. There are things that people do, or there are behavior or lifestyle that people have before power rests upon them. Elisha followed Elijah. The Bible says he began to minister to him. He began to tend to his needs. So what do you have to do? What can I do for you? All these things. There's a way it postures the heart. And God in heaven is looking at that. Are you getting me? God is looking at what? At that. You know what? We don't know. He's looking at that. Cornelius did not know that God was observing all his arms, all his thanksgiving, all those things that he was doing. He did not know that God was looking at him. Until the day that the angel appeared to him and told him that your hands and prayers, God is watching those things. So are you ready to serve? So many people, when the minister of God minister and they want to sow into the anointing, hallelujah, they want to put, and they want that kind of anointing to follow, to be upon them. It's a lie, it will not happen. Hallelujah. It will not what? It will not happen. All you call power is spirit. There's something they are looking for. If you don't have it, they will not rest upon you. It will not. So he began to what? Minister to him and serve him. Second Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2. Yes. Verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thee, from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And I said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the things, the prophet came around and asked and told him, do you know? And asked him, do you know that they are going to take your master away? Yes, he said, yes, I know. He knew that he was going to take in advice. It's not because, of course, he's also a prophet in the making. Are you getting me? Elisha was already a prophet in the making. And of course, he had the ability to know that they were going to take his master away. Another prophet around, they knew that what they were going to take his master away. Verse 5. And the sons of Elisha, of prophet that were at Jericho, said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away the master from the head today? And answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Hallelujah. And that was the second time those prophets came around and began to ask him, are you getting me? Uh-huh. And it was when he was following Elijah to that circle, because I know that thing was not, I don't know how many days that journey took, that Elijah was merry-go-rounding and just going to no man's land, nowhere. He was just going nowhere in particular. Just going around. And he said, I will follow you. Hallelujah. So one of the things I'm learning from that is that Elisha was not distracted. He was focused. In fact, he was doggedly focused. Even when those guys were telling him that, you know, that your master will be taken away, yes, he knew. But he was not distracted. He had a target. He had one thing that he was looking for. And he focused his attention on it. I don't know, maybe they had a design. They designed it. Maybe the prophet designed that this man was going to take up the anointing of Elijah. I don't know, maybe they design it. Maybe they pick it up. But Elisha wanted something from him. And he was not going to leave Elijah, even when that man was doing that thing purposely to distract him. He was doing it. You know, sometimes, that's one of the reasons why I'm saying that you need to be under. You need to serve. And one of the things that you observe in your service to a minister of God that you really want something from is that it can distract you. He himself what can distract you. Are you getting me? He can distract you. In fact, he can discourage you. That you can, if that is called, you can now be pissed off that, what is this? Shall I come on my brother? No. Are you getting so? Lo and behold, it's not him. Are you getting me? It is what he's carrying. That is, are you getting me? It is what the man of God is carrying that is doing that. Elisha was discerning, was focused. He knew what he wanted. And he paid attention to that. He was focused on that thing. Even when Elijah was moving around, and you know, when I was studying it, I was looking at it, that this journey is not, it wasn't a day journey. I was looking at it, maybe it was like a month that Elijah was doing like that, or just walking about. Maybe he was doing that for a month. I was reading, it could have taken a month that Elijah was just moving around. Going anywhere, going nowhere in particular, just going. If it was you, that is saying, I'm going to Akugba. No, he's not. I'm going somewhere. He's saying, I'm going somewhere. But you find out that you are just going. Ah, sir, please, sir. Am I being sir? Where are we going, sir? Hey, but we are going somewhere. Some of us would have been asking questions, would have been discouraged. I know of men of God. I know of people, I've had testimonies of people. In fact, I will mention name. Arumen. He said it that the man that he got his prophetic unction from, that man discouraged him. In fact, he doesn't want to see him. But he knew what he was looking for. If they are going for a meeting, maybe they are in an hotel or whatever, he will tell him to go and sleep in one. Man of God will sleep only in the room. He will tell him, go and sleep whatever, where you want to sleep, or just go there. They came together for the meeting. He followed him and he knew. I was telling him. He did that for years. Until that man told him, okay, you have tried though. He called him, come, you have tried. I know you have tried. And that day, just laid his hand, bam, he said, all the auction upon me, bam. He took it. Power doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come cheap. That's one thing I've known. Power doesn't come cheap. You need to have a kind of attitude. You need to have a kind of heart posture. There's a way your heart should be if you are indeed looking for power. I'm sorry to say, many of us, I'm really not seeing that kind of posture here. I'm serious. Many of us are too relaxed. There's a way your heart should be, that you are really looking for something. Finally, when Elijah asked him, when he got to that river, he asked him, okay, what are you now looking for? Elisha did not mind his word. He just mentioned the double portion of your anointing. That was it. Hallelujah. Once you see, many of us, when we are asking God certain things, we are not particular. We are too general about it. I cannot forget when Daddy was saying, I don't know, he mentioned somebody, I would say he was praying for a phone. Or was it a phone or whatever? I don't know. Sir? Okay. Bicycle. Okay, good. He was just praying, bicycle. And what they were expecting him was to mention the name, the kind of product he was looking for. And when heaven will have mercy on him, he just said, okay, what brand, what product are you looking for? At the day he mentioned it, he got it. Hallelujah. So many of us, we said we are looking for power. What exactly are you looking for? Are you getting me? What area do you really want to express this power? In what area? Is it healing? Is it casting out devils? Is it a demonstration of the gift of the Spirit? And of course, we are diverse. So what are you really looking for? If the angel of the Lord appeared to you now, the son, what are you looking for? What do you want? I hope our case will not be like the man, like the people that followed the Baba Adeboye. And one will say, I can't remember, I can't forget that. And one will say, sir, it's your tape that I'm looking for. It's your tape. I want to be selling your tape. And one will say, sir, it's your book that I want, sir. Your book. How can you be that? In that? Boshaye was he. Oh, God. Some of us were like that, really. We need to be sincere. We are like that. We don't know what we are looking for. We don't know it. When it comes to prayers like this, asking God like this, for things like this, you need to be specific. Are you getting me? You need to be specific. You need to know what you are really asking. And one of the ways you will know that you are... For example, like the last time I said it, I used Pastor Dele as an example, that every one of us, people know that Pastor Dele is looking for healing. You will know it. You can't, that this man of God is looking for what? That anointing for healing is consistent with him. What is consistent with you? What is that your prayer revolves around? I know people that have asked God for certain things, for certain abilities, for years. Yes, they were asking God. Yes. The people that receive miracle from Jesus, about 90% or more than that, 95%, most of them, they came to Jesus and asked him, sir, I want you to heal me, or I want you to heal somebody like this. Are you getting me? It wasn't Jesus that went to them. Are you getting me? It was most of us, we are looking for that time that maybe Jesus will come to you and say, this is, are you getting me? If you don't press, if you don't purposely ask, the time God moves sovereignly over people, that time was Old Testament. This time around, it involves your active participation, active engagement. So you must go out, ask him. And let me round up with this, that another thing, one of the things that will help you to know to ask is that there is something that is already working inside of you. Are you getting me? There's a working that the Lord has begun in your life. The day you got born again, you may not notice it. In fact, if you have been born again for the past 10 years and you don't know that this is the way God has been dealing with you, then that means you have not be paying attention. There's a way God has been dealing with you since you got born again. That he doesn't deal with other people like that. That you need to pay attention. If you closely pay attention to it, you will know what to ask God. You will know the ability to ask God that he will quickly release to you. Hallelujah. The day Paul, apostle, got born again, Bible says, after that 3 days, he began to minister, he began to what? Preach all around. He just began to preach. Of course, you will have known that that man, somewhere, he may be an evangelist, he may be what? An apostle, or something like that. Immediately, he began to do something. So there's a working inside of you the day you got born again. There's something God has started that will be leading you somewhere. Your heart will be beeping. Once they mention that area, you'll say, that's what I want.
So you need to begin to pay attention to such areas. Can we stand up? One of the things, that the Lord will want us to deal with is not pay attention to what He's doing in our life. There is a particular workings of God in individual life. And when you pay attention to it, you are walking along it, it is easy for the power of God to easily rest like that. Now you're looking at Daddy today, that is teaching and is a pastor. Pastor have been able to observe that for a long time before he got there. You see, and I perceive that some of us, you see, when I got born again, I was baptized the Holy Ghost. The way the Spirit of the Lord was moving inside of me, I know. Nobody told me. I knew that I have a call of God upon me. Are you getting me? You should know. I will tell it to God. God, if you have been ignorant in that area, can you just ask God? Can you ask Him, oh, Father, show me mercy today. Let me know what you are doing. Let me know what you are doing in my life. Help me to be aware of it. Help me to be aware of your workings in my life, of what you are doing in my life. Have mercy upon me today. Show me by your mercy. Show me by your mercy, my Father. Show me by your mercy today. Show me by your mercy, my Father.
I perceive so strongly that God wants to give an impartation today. I perceive it so strongly, so heavy, is almighty. The grace and the anointing for impartation is here now. Can the choir please come forward? Come forward. There's going to be an impartation. It's so heavy, it's so strong. By laying of hands. Can you sing this song? Channel of my spirit. Sing it out.
I am with the Father. Open up.
No boundary, no limit.
No boundary, no limit. Open up. Let it fall unto thee. Open up.
Open up.
Channel of my spirit.
Open up. Open up.
I am with the Father. Open up.
No boundary, no limit.
No boundary, no limit.
There are realms of dimension in God. It's revealed in Christ alone. Oh, praise the Lord. Set the devil, you can set the devil. Set the devil, you can set the devil. If you desire that gift, can you come forward? Either healing.
Open up.
Either witness. You desire it.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.